Thank you very much, Imani. A very good afternoon to all of you. Sorry, I have a bad throat. I just have strips in my mouth. So I hope I'll be able to speak for this entire maybe 30-40 minutes of speaking. Okay, so I'll just continue what I think Imani has mentioned, is that how the entire, the back room to the boardroom, the transformation has happened. So we all agree, right? That how the transformation has happened, and that rather than purely as a support function now, how the procurement has moved towards as a business.
Lean manufacturing.
So before I start, I have a very small question, which is like this basically. The topic is from backroom to boardroom, the relation of CPO as a value creator. My name is Amit Pandey. I'm vice president of procurement, supply chain, human resource, and administration. So I thought it's a small case study.
Lean manufacturing is a deliberately simple way.
So there are a lot of data points which is available, and I would like to present that how in Tikona, by using my entire automotive experience of working with Maruti and Honda, how I've transformed that, the so-called big organizations with their big setup of the procurement functions. I have moved.
Lean manufacturing is a deliberately simple way of thinking.
Which was actually a startup organization, and I have implemented most of the automotive lean processes into a telecom industry, and how that results into changing the procurement brand within the organization. So before I start, do you think procurement is a support function? Let's try to be more interactive. How many of you think for this? Nobody thinks. Right? It is. Okay. So I think the one challenge what I think I got is that we don't believe, but it's difficult to sell that concept that procurement is a business function to the organization. So I'll just share with you my thought. I think we all know about the lean supply chain, or lean procurement, lean manufacturing, lean production, and lean Six Sigma process. So if you see lean Six Sigma process, it talks about CPOC, right? So supplier input, process output, and then customer. So if you see that this is how the material flow happen on a downstream customers, and information flow happens on the upstream customers. So if you see what I believe and what I have tried to implement in Tikona, I'm telling everyone, is that anytime when any function who can actually result into a customer disturbance cannot be a support function. So that is what the overall thought process which I have started. And if you see entire process, if you see sourcing and procurement, so I'm just taking procurement not standalone as a procurement, I'm touch upon the procurement as a part of the entire supply chain as a function or as a department. So if you see sourcing and procurement, warehousing, logistics, supply management, asset management, and then the entire reverse logistics and reverse supply chain. So procurement and supply chain is a primary business function. It is no more a support function. But as you said correctly, that we need to sell it. We need to convince internally. We need to project that as how the procurement function. I think that is the all is all about the case today. That how this entire procurement brand within the organization has evolved, and how from a backroom PR to PO kind of a process, taking those traditional three code analysis and all, how the CPO has moved from a backroom to a boardroom. Okay, so this is the agenda of the entire presentation. So I'll touch upon a bit on the telecom industry. We all are the user of that. So it's a very familiar industry. We all touch upon the telecom industry, not on a daily basis, but actually on a minute basis. Every minute we check our mobile. Okay, Tikona has an overview as a company. And then what are the challenges when we started Tikona operation 5 years back? And what is the solution we have implemented? And then how the lean procurement model, lean supply chain model, what are the activities we have done along with the hard skill as well as the soft skill management, and then some result analysis, which is basically the data points. Okay, so coming back to the telecom industry. Okay, so we have seen, if you see that telecom has two legs, one is called voice, one is called data. So voice, we have already seen the growth, 60% CAGR, in 9 years, 9 million to 900 million subscribers. India is the fastest growing in terms of fast data globally in terms of the voice market. we generate the maximum number of minutes, you know, across the globe. The kind of the minutes per, you know, the cost per minute is the lowest in India in terms of the voice. So the big brother, which is called basically the voice in telecom, has played its role. Now, I don't think we know anybody who doesn't have a mobile phone, especially for the voice. Now the trend is moving to the smaller and younger brother, who is data. So now we all know that how the data migration is happening. So if you see that ARPU has declined, but the growth which is planned for the data is going to be much, much more aggressive than the voice. So 55 to 75% even the analysis says that the data growth is planned in India. So if you see why this growth is possible, this is something which is pretty exciting. If you see the countries, we have a very low internet-based penetration. The broadband penetration in India is still struggling with 1.5 to 2%, while voice has reached to around 80%. Okay, so this chart is actually showing that how this entire transformation of the data in India is going to happen. So if you see that internet enabled devices, so today we all carry that smartphone with that Android, either the Samsung, Apple or BlackBerry, you know. So it is actually getting on a very aggressive path. The global smartphone, you know, the shipment is actually increasing heavily. And same way we see that what exactly is the data as a total revenue percentage. Okay, so this figure of 9% has recently reached to around 11.5 to 12%, but still, Japan has actually crossed 50%. So if you see telecom as an industry, the total revenue, India is still struggling with that 10% of data revenue, 90% of voice. While in Japan, it is now data is crossing the the voice revenue. The next chart is also very exciting. So if you see, this is how the trend is going to be. If you see the red block is actually talking about the data and blue part is talking about the voice. So if you see somewhere in maybe 2026 or so, we are actually data is going to cross the revenue voice, the voice market. Okay, so now all this story, whatever is there, we all believe because we can see that, we can feel that. It's not something what analyst says or the industry is saying, this is what we can feel. We can actually feel it. For example, in their top 10 cities, there is a survey which says that data uses in terms of number of hits and converted to number of minutes has gone to 10 times of the voice. The way it has been calculated is that how many times you check your mobile and check the data. Now data is WhatsApp, BBM, mails, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever. It's all data. And how many times you pick up a call and receive a call and talk on the minutes. So if you see that your mobile phone has started ringing much slow in terms of the voice call rather than, you know, the WhatsApp ping, you started having more ping, ping, tong, you know, all those sounds are coming, which is more like a data sound basically. Now if you see 865 million is basically the mobile subscriber, 150 million TV households what we have in India. This is something which is pretty exciting. 50% of the population is less than 20. Now this is the generation, this is the young generation, you know, the Gen Y is actually going to result. So if you see the correlation with all these three charts converting into this chart, right? Okay, so how many of you know about Tikova? How many of you have heard about Tikova? Okay, you have any knowledge, good. So I found a customer also with that. Okay, so Tikona is a very is a startup company. The focus which has been started by Tikona is that we wanted to solve the data problem in India. Because voice problem, we thought it has been solved. So few data points on the Tikona is that we have created the largest outdoor Wi-Fi network. So normally in the globe, worldwide, Wi-Fi as a technology has been used more as a part of an in-house, you know, spot, Wi-Fi hotspot. For example, you are using Wi-Fi currently on the this business center, so it's in-house. We have created the largest outdoor Wi-Fi network across the globe with 43,000 base stations in 25 cities, and currently we have more than 3,000 employees. 250,000 subscribers. We have also created the lowest capex per customer model because we don't have to pay to the spectrum. It's a free spectrum. So Wi-Fi, there is a 50 megahertz of 2.4 gigahertz and 60 megahertz of 5.8 gigahertz is already available. You just need a small ISP license for that. Okay, now I think everybody understands what a spectrum is. You know, we have seen a government falling down because of that problem. Okay. We have around 250,000 home subscribers, around 10,000 SME and 1,000 corporate customers. We have also acquired a company from HCL, that is HCL Infinite, to jumpstart our corporate business, which is basically the B2B, for connecting all your offices, you know, hotels and hospitalities, places. It is a B2B model, while the 250,000 is B2C model. We have also acquired 4G BWA auction, which happened in 2010. That was the first reverse forward auction what government has done, 3G and 4G. We have got 5 circles. UP East, UP West, Himachal Pradesh, Rajasthan and Gujarat, where we are planning to launch in next quarter 4G services. So if you see that, this is what very interesting is that the kind of the data growth what we can see that India is a country where you start giving free or you start giving clubbing. I can charge you only 100 rupees and you can use unlimited data. And then people use data like anything. Just imagine that 250 subscriber currently, this figure is of June 2014, it's a bit old slide. Today they have crossed around 22 GB per month, average. There are around 25,000 subscribers who use more than 100 GB per month. That means they use 3 GB per day. Now what they do? So this is how there are a lot of analysts who understand that in India, the content is not a problem. Because of two things, unlikely, for example, Japan, China, Singapore, Malaysia, Taiwan, all other countries which are not like English speaking countries, today you have all the data which is available, whether it's Hollywood, whether it's Bollywood and cricket. So all the people keep watching online, all the YouTube has become 7th most popular channel in India. Incredible, right? Nobody could have ever imagined, 5 or 6 years back that how this entire, internet so-called thing is going to, take all of us and, trap all of us in that, that one thing is called device. So on a lighter side, if you see that we used to say long time back, I think people used to say, people who used to be very, very, aggressive in terms of trying to achieve a lot of, dreamer kind of people. They used to say, I want the word in my hand. So I think somebody somewhere has said and God has listened. And they have given you a one device. Now you have all the things available on your hand. That is a mobile handset. Okay, these are the 5 circles. So it's basically the Infotel, which is the Reliance Jio. They have 22 circles, Pan India footprint for 4G. Tikona has 5 circles. Qualcomm has been brought over by Airtel. So Airtel has 8 circles. Airtel has 9 circles. So last to last week, I was in Barcelona for Mobile World Congress. So the technology partners like Huawei, ZTE, Ericsson, Nokia, and Alcatel-Lucent, Samsung, all these people. So ZTE was showing live streaming of a concept called pre-5G. And Ericsson was showing a concept called 5G. 5G is coming in 2020. Pre-5G is coming maybe next year or next year. Can you believe the kind of the download speed they were streaming on a 4G network? 450 Mbps. 5G coming, the speed gonna be 1 Gbps. Just imagine that a movie is getting downloaded just like an Excel file. Incredible. You can't imagine that. So just see that how this entire transformation is actually happening on the technology piece. Okay, so Tikona has actually acquired 29% of population, which is basically because these 5 circles are very, very populated circles, UP East, UP West, These are few awards what Tikona has won as an organization. Okay, so coming back to the topic, coming back to the main topic of today is that I will just explain how this entire model what we have created on the Tikona is part of the procurement and supply chain. So if you see, this is a very lean model of the team. So we have, for example, the sourcing and contracting, the procurement. This is basically a procurement function, and this is purely the supply chain function. So we have only five leaders, exclusive leaders, who manage the entire operation on pan-India on 25 cities with around 11 warehouses. And then we have around 33 people who are basically the contractual employees, but we have taken them on board. This is basically the OJT concept, and on-job training. Okay, now these are the challenges. So I think we all know spend analysis, and we know how much spend we do management. So when I joined, we found that the entire procurement was a user-driven. You all understand, user stakeholder used to driven. So Marcom used to take a call that who will be the contractual in terms of whom will do the contract for Marcom activities, agencies and all. IT used to take a call that whether we have to buy from which company in terms of the CIOs, Microsoft, Oracle, and all those companies. So if you see, this is what the concerned users which are the, so these are basically the heads as per the P&L. Okay, so all these are basically the OPEX expenses till now, and then the CAPEX in terms of CAPEX services. The only piece which used to come to the procurement team was the CAPEX. CAPEX material buying is majorly because of the, you have the sites, you have to build those 43 sites material. So it's like all the electronic equipments, all the passive infrastructure equipments, battery, cabinet, cables, etc. So this was, if you see, only 7% of the spend used to be managed. Okay. So in this scenario, anybody can say procurement is a support function. We're just doing one particular thing. And if you see the C2C cycle, there was like advanced payment model because of the new setup organization, startup companies, supply don't give credit, right? So all advanced payment, and then long, as per a traditional model of telecom, long inventory in the warehouse, in the ISPs, and we used to get the payment here. So it was around 4 to 5 months. Few items, it was around 6 months. It's a normal traditional model how, you know, so telecom in India used to work on a quarterly ordering model. So if you see, I'll just summarize what are the challenges, but how we have taken those challenges. We've taken those challenges as big opportunities. High buying cost, no strategic sourcing model in place, import shipment, everything is urgent, so everything is coming by air. Quarterly ordering, no forecasting. High level of inventory, 4 to 6 months, IT C2C cycle. User-driven procurement, not procurement-driven procurement. Physical versus Oracle accounting problem because of a no process in place. No consulting firm, no IT support except Oracle LMI. This was the only Oracle LMI which we used to have for the generation of purchase order. That's all. Procurement supply chain, just a support function. Traditional approach by suppliers. So multiple challenges, but what is the solution? Because it's a big opportunity. So that's how we created this model, which is called Lean Procurement and Lean Supply Chain. The entire model, the way how the lean, so I have worked for 1.5 years in Maruti and 11 years in Honda. So I have worked in Japan also. So I have worked in multiple countries of Honda plant and Honda factories, only on procurement. So I tried to implement that entire concept, and I was the only person who came from an automotive background. Otherwise, the entire organization is like set up of the telecom people. So how to convert that from Japanese automotive model, which is like, you know, the benchmark for most of the industries, and suddenly coming to an Indian telecom startup. So these are the objectives what we have set at the time of the launching. So this model we have launched around 4.5 years back to modify and improve procurement business process by implementing lean model to benchmark Tikona procurement best in telecom industry. This is what the objective is, to create an enhanced procurement brand index. I think what we are talking about, the back room to boardroom, is something related to this. If we have a brand of the procurement within the organization, we are automatically moving from back room to boardroom. To make procurement a profit center, this was something which was very surprising for me, even in Airtel. When I heard that one of the discussions, the CFO said that procurement is a cost center, not a profit center. While working with 11 years with Honda, I was like, we are the only profit center rather than sales, along with sales. And so they work more like a very support function, it's a cost center. So to convert that as a profit center, so profit through cost control. So money saved is equal to money earned. That is what the concept we create. These are the general tools of lean model. Every model of the lean has been implemented. Elimination of waste, like we understand that eliminate muda. Just in time, Sangen Shugi, visual management, pull system, fishbone, continuous flow, TST, PDCA, 5Y, POKA, a few of them are basically the Japanese terminologies. So why we need to, so I'll just take a small break in terms of the overall and understand, make you understand more why we need to remove those waste and what exactly the lean model is. What in an entire process, any process, not only the part of procurement, any process, what are the things which are value add and what are the things which are waste? If you remove those waste, then what happens? Then you can reduce this time, you can save a lot of money to remove all the waste which is actually creating a longer lead time for any process. So I have a very small video of 1 minute. So can we have a video number one?
Lean manufacturing is a deliberately simple way of thinking about customer value and how your operations can build that value in the most efficient way possible. Lean asks you to think of your manufacturing operations as a value stream that flows products to your customer. Some of your activities add value, others just add waste. Value is anything that your customer will pay for. Waste is anything that adds costs your customer would not pay for. This can be overproduction of finished goods or work in process, excess transport and handling, scrap and rework, or wasted time while people and goods wait for things to happen. As you work to drive out waste and flow your product more quickly through the value stream, your operation becomes less costly and more responsive to customer demand.
I think in 1 minute, we are able to understand what exactly in the entire process, what are the value adds. Very beautifully, I think you see the definition has been given to identify. Because it's very difficult. For example, you go to your stakeholder and tell, why do we require this function in a particular product? It is actually adding a cost.
This is the ball of Tiger Woods. Lenny, what about this?
Vern, this is...
Normally use the example of that, Sony, remote control of big, the music system. I don't know how many buttons we use and how many buttons we have. You know, so all those things and anything which customer is not paying to us is actually the waste. Only the customer who is ready to pay to us, because it's the problem in our process. Why the customer? In case if we are buying any particular component or the product or service at a higher cost, why customer will pay to us? Okay, so definition of waste, what has been given by Fujitsu is basically the Toyota people. Anything other than, now let's understand this definition. Anything other than minimum amount of equipment, space and workers' time, which are absolutely essential to add value to the product. So if you want to actually implement this process, what you need to do? You need to do a two-level checkpoint. One is, what is the minimum amount of this activity required? What is the minimum required? After taking that minimum, he also added, still it is absolutely essential. So that is whether it is need-based, absolute need or not. So this is just on a bit lighter note. We all know him. Just to make understand what exactly is the lean and what is the muda. We all know him, right? And we all know him, huh? Right? Okay, so he's the same guy. Okay, so muda is unwanted and removal is lean. Anything which is unwanted. So for example, extra fat in our body is not required. If you remove that, that is called. So
So removal of waste in a process is a starting point of lean. Now coming back to how the lean model works in a business process. So we all work on a very traditional model of cost plus profit is equal to price. Cost, any input cost, material cost, service cost, HR cost, admin cost, you know, tax and duties, brand, marcom cost, IT cost. And price is basically the number of customers, unit sales price or ARPU, whatever the price you sell it to the customer. So what happens in a conventional way, you might have seen that many organizations keep focusing only on the sales. You know that people used to say that teeth to tail ratio and all those stuff, like, you know, everybody has to focus towards the sale. Why? Because sale is someone who is actually driving the entire revenue for the organization. So when the organization focus on the sales and doesn't focus on the cost, what happens that when you go into a growth model, cost also keeps increasing. So what happens that profitability becomes narrow. Even it's a better model if you just maintain the cost and keep increasing your sales revenue, still your profit is a bit better. What Lean talks about? You keep increasing the sales, keep reducing the cost by implementing a lot of processes to remove those wastages for which your customer is not going to pay for. So what happens? It gives you the higher profit. Now, if I want to sell this concept internally, how I have sold this concept internally to the people is that I, as a procurement person, giving my sales people and the organization people a competitive advantage to play in the market. Getting what I'm saying? We are contributing to reduce the cost, increase the profitability, or increase the EBITDA for you to compete in the market, go and sell in the market at a lower cost, because your competition is also giving at a lower cost. So the conventional way, and let's understand the lean way. Price minus profit cost. Sorry, I think it just got deferred because of the change. So why it is so? Okay, somebody can say why you are changing the rule, which is like a very, if you go to the sales book of 200 years, 300 years back, this is what has been taught. We are still, you know, understanding what exactly is the cost plus profit is equal to sales model. Because price is determined by the customer. How many of us understand? Price is not determined by the company. It is being determined by the customer. And profit is determined by the investment. So what is in our control? This is the only thing what we can control. Okay? So this is how we have converted a unique model which is called centralized and center-led model of procurement, where even a small pin to a BPO, to a Marcom, to an IT, to even HR, after that I got the HR also, even the admin, any expense happening in the organization has to be controlled by us. So what we have done, we have defined the entire process, identified the areas to focus, and based on that, we have done around 159 innovative projects. So I'll just touch upon bit. I know you all are, you know, very strong in terms of the hard skill management. So I'll just touch upon bit on the hard skill and more on the soft skill. So these are the innovative projects. Every project has been defined as a part of a Lean Six Sigma project. Procurement 58, supply chain 62, human resource 21, 18, administration. So 159 innovative projects what we have done in the last 4 years. So if we understand this input process output, so hard skill versus soft skill. So this is what the activities what we work on in hard skill process. There is a method, material, machine, money, anything. So hard skill management defines the process methodology. So we have introduced another model. It is not, I have not never read about that. It is called 16 ways of sourcing stocks, which I have tried to implement. I'll explain what are those. Focus on, so purely it's an automotive model, that zero-based costing and all this. Focus on VA, tier 2 costing and all, which is unlikely not happening on a telecom structure. Because telecom is more like a finished good buying. It's like an equipment you are buying. You're not producing anything. Okay, these are the inventory management. So these are 16 ways of sourcing strategy. Okay. So normal, when we talk about the people other than procurement, they understand only number 1 and number 14. For them, procurement is the most simplest job. You have to just call 3 suppliers, ask them the quote, put a danda in your hand, beat them as much as possible, and end of the day, whoever is giving you the lowest cost, procure them. So what they say, create a competition with those 3 quote analysis and then negotiate hard. So out of 16, only 2, 14 are gone. 16 ways of sourcing is gone. So we can create that, we all do that, you know, I think you're not telling, I'm just summarizing what we are, you know, doing. There is a recent analysis, and I've actually given a lot of this lecture on these 2 processes also, on different procurement forum, is outsourcing to in-house and in-house to outsource. When an activity or a process need to be outsourced, and when an activity or a process need to be in-house. So what happens, all these P&L items, every time of every buying, they have to pass through all the process in terms of all sourcing strategies, whatever is applicable. So we just run through. Every item and service has to pass through all these applicable sourcing strategies. So it's no more like competition and negotiation. And this is also another strategy what we have identified, which is I think most of the companies have. This is basically saving versus complexity. You know, the chart which says that which are the areas like quick wins, where the cost down is very less, but they are very easy in terms of the complexity. When complexity increases, cost saving is same. Cost saving increases where the complexity is low, and these are the areas. So we have divided quick wins, beware, zone of leverage, and low-hanging fruits. Okay, this is something which is very beautiful model on the lean. This is called pull model. Okay, so analysis said in Honda Japan is that a push model versus pull model, if you work on a pull model, it gives you more than 150% of the productivity. So what is pull model in procurement? What is pull model in procurement? So this is all push model. So PO will not get created until unless PR is there, right? So when you say procurement team, why you have not created the PO? They'll say there's no PR. So this is complete model has been changed in a lean way. This is like, irrespective, the PO person has to pull the PR. PR person has to pull the entire MRP. The delivery person, so it's like supplier is following up based on the forecasting, give me the PO. Warehousing person is pulling from the supplier, give me the material. You know, so all this entire model has been created as part of pull. So pull model increased productivity of around 150%. Okay, bit on the soft skill management, which is like that. So this is how the job of the procurement, that they have to deal with all the stakeholders. 20 departments, 3,000 employees, and 700 suppliers. Okay, this is something, if you see, just a support function, thankless profile, procurement is like shopping, anyone can do it. High level of internal politics. No face-to-face talk, less phone talk, only mail. I think we all face the same problem. People keep mail exchange rather than calling and talking on a face-to-face basis. Email, CC to his boss and my boss is very popular. Okay, let's have some laugh. Huh? It's on a lighter note. Okay, until unless I'm not sending a mail and keeping the CC to his boss, he will not work. And why I have to keep my boss? Because let me show him that I'm working. He boss, maine to mail bhej diya, ab dekh lo. Okay, pass the problem, take the credit. This is also very, very common thing. Supplier selection by stakeholders. Stakeholders used to select the supplier, kahenge isi se lena hai, price dekho. Gap in KRS, company procurement and stuff. This is, I think, very big thing what we have found. An organization AOP and organization KRA, and if you ask the CEO, what is your top 3 agenda for this year, he will never say that cost down is basically an agenda for him. He'll talk revenue, churn, collection, you know, product, R&D, all those, you know, high stream department. Control on, yeah, the best part what happens is all these problems, the good part happens that you have a control on supply. Whenever you feel there is a problem, you just call one supplier and just fire him. And feel lots of satisfaction. ठीक है यार, जॉब ठीक चल रही है. ओके, दीज आर आई थिंक फ्यू जस्ट सॉफ्ट स्किल. आई जस्ट रन थ्रू लाइक देर आर 1000 वेज टू से नो टू एनी पर्टिकुलर जॉब एंड इज ओनली वन वे टू से यस, दैट इज कॉल्ड पैशन. सो हैव यू एवर थॉट दैट इन द सीजन ऑफ ओलंपिक्स व्हाई अ प्लेन रेस इज 100 मीटर राइट एंड अ हर्डल रेस इज 110. इट हैपेंस राइट. व्हाई इट इज थॉट and given this, it's because when we get hurdles, we achieve 10% more. So simple, bit thought, but so powerful that how we can convert all the challenges into big opportunities. This I want you all to laugh. Huh? So there are two mindset of the people, huh? With due respect of all humankind. A Japanese thought process says, if I can do it, if someone can do it, I can do it. If someone cannot do it, I must do it. A bit on the Middle Eastern side. Wallahi, if one can do it, let him do it. If no one can do it, ya Habibi, how can I do it? Right? So if you see just the thought process, just the mindset, and we see a lot of people. Like the biggest thing I've seen in the organization is that the same person will come and tell you why you are doing my job, it is my job. And the same person next day will say, this is not my job, this is your job. How can the same person react completely different in 2 days? Okay, so keep doing. People will start to follow you one day, not on Twitter or Facebook. Honesty can be disturbed but can't be destroyed. Hindi mein bolte hai, sachchai pareshan ho sakti hai, parantu parajit nahi ho sakti. Right, this is what result, win or fail. What most people think, but actually the successful people, good people know. You know, Sujiro Honda said that success is basically a 99% hard word, what we call is a failure. Okay, failure is the first step of success. So this is what success is, running, but running continuously. That's how one who falls down doesn't lose the race. The one who doesn't get up lose the race. This is what Sujiro Honda says. So be innovative, seek excellence, and success will follow you. So I have a very small video of you to understand what exactly the excellence means. So we all keep talking about while watching the cricket match on the World Cup. Excellent shot by Sachin Tendulkar. Excellent, excellent. I think the commentator used excellent word in a match maybe 100 times. Because he even doesn't understand what excellence means. So I want all the commentators to actually watch this video. This video of Tiger Woods. We all know him, right? So let's see this video to understand what exactly the excellence is. Video number.
This is the ball of Tiger Woods. Lenny, what about this?
Vern, this is extremely difficult. This is one of the toughest pitches on the entire place here. He's got to put this well. You can see him looking up the slope. He's almost got to put it up to where you saw Trevor Immelman's ball come from to get it close.
Well, I am reminded of Davis Love here 4 or 5 years ago when he pitched in.
Yeah, he's a little bit further up, I think, than mm-hmm. Davis was.
Yes, he is.
Got the same basic kind of shot. He's going to have to get it close, he's going to have to put it up into the slope, though, somewhat. And, of course, it's made a lot tougher by having that second cut right behind the ball. It almost forces him, I think, to put it back and have to hit a low shot. He cannot put it up in the air with the second cut that close behind the ball. You can see him putting it back in his stance right here and picking the club up like he's going to hit right down on it.
And he's picked out a landing spot that is a good 25 feet above the hole.
There's a good chance he doesn't get this inside the marker of the ball. Oh my goodness. Oh wow. In your life have you seen anything like that?
is important is not that 6 seconds of the shot. What is important is the time. He has designed that shot. He has planned that shot. You know that PDCA cycle? So that shows that how powerful planning he has done. He would have played this straight. He didn't. Okay, so this is what I would summarize, that what are the win people strategy? Because I personally believe that, you know, soft skill management in an organization becomes more important than the hard skill management. We all know how to handle suppliers, how to handle, you know, the entire procurement as a process, how to handle stakeholders, how to handle bosses. That becomes very challenging. So very high level of patience, neglect office politics, keep giving credit to the stakeholders. Even you can do multiple projects, keep giving credit to the stakeholders. All the time, every time, drive with passion, never give up approach. 90-10 philosophy. This is what one philosophy I implemented. I said to the stakeholders, 9 times your call, 1 time my call. He used to take 9 times, jo Hindi mein kahawat hai na, 100 sonar ki, ek lohar ki. Wo 9 jagah bade khush ho jate the, humne ye kara diya, ye kara diya, ye kara diya. So finally, jab ek cheez meri aati thi, to wo sare process bhar. You know, that's a very beautiful thing. Compromise on small things. You know? Draw, see, think, this is basically DST PDCA. Publish and move on. Publish is very important. Sell your idea, sell your thought. Create the brand and keep upgrading. Relationship management, focus towards the top line and bottom line. That is how you can only move from back room to boardroom. If you neglect this piece and you keep working on, you know, this procurement as a function standalone, then you will keep doing the backroom job. So this is basically the CPOC bridge, how to bridge the gap. Okay, this is how the top trend analysis, which is happening globally, how the procurement is going to, these are the things. I'll just touch upon who will do that. So this is how we need to do that. It's the leaders who have to do all these things. You know, so connecting, I'll just touch upon like connecting business with finance. That is what our biggest job. Okay, soft skill are more important than hard skill. And beyond procurement, business-oriented PDCA. Okay, on a little lighter side again. Just imagine that how the procurement function is going to get into a much bigger function. Think about it. E-auction for selecting employees. You know, procurement of employees. E-auction. Merger of two sourcing. You know, two sourcing, procurement and human resource. Procurement team deciding the next quarter sales plan. How's that? Okay, so this, I think we have been able to achieve that. We don't do these two. This has been done because I head the human resource also. But first is not done. This we have done. So my sales team, actually CMO sends me a mail stating that what be the plan based on the material availability we can define for the next quarter. So it's a joint discussion and decision what we take. Reverse pressure, SCM to sales. Can you imagine that you are sending a mail to the salesperson that there is a material lying, why the hell you are not doing the sales? It doesn't happen, right? But the reverse, think about that, there is no material and sales is not happening. There is no component and production is not happening. We keep getting those bills. So reverse pressure. Last one is very funny. I think Saurabh loves that. CFO reporting to the CPO. Right? Okay, so all these things, and then just final conclusion on the result analysis. These are the project, what the project resulted into, 3 years, $12 million of the cost out. Every month we used to publish the cost down initiatives project report to the all management and the board members. This is how we have achieved month on month cost down on Minsky level. Minsky is like cumulative cost down, it's a Japanese term. Okay, this is how we converted the air to sea model, 100% sea model. 4 months air, 150 tons, this is what the price, 83 rupees per kg. This is what on the 8 rupees per kg for the CC. 100% model has been changed. This is how we monitor the entire OPEX expenses. This is what 1 year percentage cost down on every P&L item. We monitor the EBITDA improvement, EBITDA methodology in terms of the entire financing. And this is a new structure what we have defined, that what is the percentage of the cost down we have achieved vis-a-vis the total revenue. If you see 21%, so what is means that every cost down, what you do is actually a 5 times of the revenue, right? Because revenue is sales minus cost is equal to profit. Cost down is direct profit. So So you see what has happened, how the transformation happened. 7% to 92%. Today we handle 92% of the entire spend management. What is the balance 8%? Tax and duties. No value addition. System se itna service tax aaya, utna government duty. Right? And this is how the quantity handled, and we work on a Lean Six Sigma model. So every KPI of this procurement supply chain is being monitored on the Sigma level. This is what the BDO audited report, what we talk about that warehouse at discrepancy model. So if you see, we are actually at 5 plus, around more than 1,000 crores of buying of the capex. There's only 47, basically 4 lakh rupees of discrepancy in last 5 years. And this is our 5.0 crore to zero discrepancy. Same way for the ISPs. This is what very interesting thing is there for supply chain. It's my average truck turnaround time in all my warehouse. Full truckload is just less than 1 minute. So the entire truck gets unloaded, stacking. This is the power of 5S. This is for me to check at how my entire warehouse are working in a complete 5S model. Less than 20 minutes. Okay, GRN and everything is done. Truck comes, report and go out. This is how the inventory turns we have, you know, been able to achieve. It's from 4 to 20. It's like 18 days. It's entire cash to cash cycle, if you see, in 18 days. So this is how we have, if you see global supply chain reports, McDonald's is number one at 142. So we are somewhere around with Samsung. Samsung is 17.1. So this is how we have done the global benchmarking. So if you see the cash flow, cash to cash cycle, earlier it used to be 4 to 5 months. Now it is, we have a positive cash flow. So procurement has become the contributor towards the cash profit in terms of the percentage of the interest saved, because we have to pay to the supplier here and we get money from the customer. This is how the retention of the lean team members. So the people whom I have said, these people, zero attrition from last now 5 years. No attrition. This is how the procurement brand for myself, how the it has been created. As a procurement, I actually joined as a supply chain head, then became procurement supply chain head, then admin head, then human resource head, then 4G BWA project director, then we acquired Tikona Infinite Limited, I became the group, for all these activities. For me, who am I? I'm just a procurement person. So this is how the transformation happened. Okay, and this is what the procurement brand index we calculate. This is a beautiful slide. Maybe if you can just spend maybe 5 seconds on that. All these contribution or activities, what happens on an organization level. How much is your involvement in 2009 versus 2003? So if you see, we calculate the brand index within the organization on multiple KPIs. I have shown the snapshot from 1 to 10. So today, not a business strategy level decision happens without involvement of the people. So what happened? Tikona achieved a break-even 4.5 years in telecom. This is the news. Tikona achieves a bit of break-even 4.5 years, among the fastest in telecom space in India. And how did it happen? So this is beautiful. So if you see, red is the OPEX expense, blue is the revenue. And this is how 63% revenue enhancement and 38% cost up. And this is how you're achieving the break-even. What happened after this? 59 awards in last 3 years. We have got the awards in Singapore, nominated 6 categories in London for a Global Procurement Leadership Awards. In procurement, we got 25, supply chain 21, and HR and other 21. Thank you very much. That's all from myself. We have time for no question. Maybe one question. No question means nothing understood, or everything understood. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.